BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Wire Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rocky.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
And Mace.
And if anyone disagrees with me, I'll open a can of the ass, we pump a mud pie, eat some low-fat frozen yogurt, and that's the bottom line.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what you're for on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you. Stop it.
Take the cake, Hunter Hurst, Helmsley, and Savio, you shake and bake. Back when crawling on his knees,
here's a tale about Tim Cornette, the polyester king. With Owen Bader and the dog, it's a not so nice to sing. They screamed, they yelled in Los Angeles. I heard them from afar. 'Cause Cornette would only rent a mid-size rent-a-car.
Oh!
We love the superstars! WWF superstars! So come on, let's start the show and fire up the burner! Screw you, Ted Turner! It's time to start the show! The Slammy Show!
Welcome everybody to the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PWMania.com and TweakedAudio.com. I am, of course, The Rockin', joined, as always, by Lindsay Ward.
I am slightly speechless by that. That is... And I've seen that, or I've watched that before, but...
Every time,
yeah,
every time you just... hear it, every time you say it, it just makes you go, wow...
The most morbid Christmas carol ever. That's all I'm going to say.
I miss those intros. I really do, because they're creative and funny. And you just watch their reactions. If you can find it on YouTube, just watch the wrestler's reaction to the lines. It's priceless.
Unfortunately, they don't have anybody that's witty enough.
This is true.
To write something like that.
No, when they have a witty person, they fire him and send him home only to bring him back for The Rock. Anyway.
He said it, not me.
So yeah, we have 3 hours of Monday Night Raw to get through. And it's a Slammy Show, which means you need to get your WWE app.
Wait, there's an app?
And the Jets fumbled the ball. Good job, Jets. Anyway, yes,
shocked.
There's a WWE app if you didn't hear it tonight. They said about 3 billion times.
See, oh my god, I had no idea, even though they said there was a WWE app every 5 fucking minutes.
Make sure you download it or get the update, because you know you need the WWE app to be WWE active on Raw active.
What's the point of having the WWE app on Raw active if the stupid thing crashes every 5 minutes? And I'm not kidding, every time you try to go to vote, it dies. It's just like, really?
Why, did you try to vote?
I did try to vote.
Well,
of course I tried to vote. Somebody had to vote for anger management and hell no.
I know, right?
And Damian Sandow.
This is true.
And Taker.
And, yeah, damn right, Taker. Oh my god, you would have heard two people flipping on air if that didn't win later. Woo!
No. You wouldn't have gotten a word in edgewise if Taker had not won. You wouldn't have even gotten to play the fancy intro. You would have started this show with me going off. And I shit you not on that, y'all.
But let's get into it. 3 hours of Monday Night Raw opened with Rey Mysterio with Sin Cara taking on Damian Sandow with Cody Rhodes' mustache. That's what my recap
and
says. Yeah, and Cody Rhodes. Yeah, but that's what my recap says, Cody Rhodes' mustache. quick to the point, they mentioned during the match that we will get Daniel Bryan and Kane defending against the Rhodes Scholars on WWE Main Event for the Tag Team titles, which apparently was different than what the original plan, which was Kane versus Cody. Plans change. And you know, you're thinking, oh, they got a title match coming up. They, you know, Damian Sandow would win. No, it didn't happen. Rey Mysterio won.
Well, he's facing Rey Mysterio. Of course he's going to lose.
I guess. But yeah, this match was too short to even tell you much about.
Yeah.
You can say that about a lot of matches, but we'll get, yeah.
This actually could have been a really good opening match, especially since they didn't really have an opening segment.
Right.
And they really just gave them, I mean, they didn't give them a lot of time at all, so you're kind of sitting there going, really? That's it? That's all they get?
That's all they get. Because, well, they devoted time to someone else, but we'll get to that. And god, that was epic. Up next is our first Slammy Award, the Tell Me I Did Not Just See That Award. which was presented by Booker T.
Well, it is named after him, it so it makes sense. Him,
yeah. For the most shocking moment of the year. this is where, you know, he asked everyone to pull out, you know, get on their phone, get to the WWE app, and download it. Makes you scratch your head. But anyway, the nominees were Brad Maddox low blow at Hell in a Cell, Sheamus beating Daniel Bryan, in 18 seconds, Kofi Kingston avoiding elimination at the Royal Rumble by walking on his hands, and The Rock being clotheslined by CM Punk at Raw 1000. And the winner is, out of nowhere, it's the Boogeyman?
This was an awesome surprise, dude. Like, out of all the people you expect to walk out there, or rather crawl on their stomach, you don't expect the Boogeyman. You really don't. And all I could keep hearing in my head was, God damn, they fucked the Boogeyman. He's coming out.
I was really surprised it was a Boogeyman, but it was a great surprise. It started the night off fantastic.
Oh, it did. It's like, and it tied into the award beautifully. It was very well done on their part to bring him in, and Booker's reaction was perfect.
Well, that's what he's known for. So it was done well, and he had the worms and a wig, and that you think is Taker's hair?
I swear to God, that's the wig that Taker hacked up.
It looked too full to me. It looked like too much hair.
Well, we don't know where he started cutting it.
True.
Because the ends looked like they had definitely been razored.
But yeah, I looked at it, it's like, that looks too full of head of hair. Taker never had that full head of hair. Under that, you know, whatever it was, hat. That's the word I was looking for, hat.
I think he did. It was, if you go back and you look at that wig, it was pretty full.
Well, I'll have to look at it. We'll probably do an investigation later.
Damn right.
That's just what we do here on the Mile Talk Radio Network after the show goes off the air. So the winner for the Tell Me I Did Not Just See That award was... Wait, here comes Brad Maddox. He thinks he's going to win for low-blowing the Ryback. But no. Kofi Kingston wins for standing on his hands. I was hoping for Daniel Bryan.
I was hoping for Daniel Bryan in every category he was nominated in, but, you know, honestly, walking on your hands, okay, I'll give him that. That's pretty damn impressive.
That was impressive. That was. What will he do this year at the Rumble?
I don't know. He's got to top it.
It's always tough. You got to top what you did the previous year. Up next, Caitlyn versus Eve.
It was a match.
It looked like she was doing a gut buster, and I guess that's her finisher. Caitlyn wins, and then mocked Eve's posing, and that was about it. It was there. They got on TV.
They both got jobber entrances. They both got this was a really quick match. And it just, yeah, it was a throwaway, and that's exactly what it felt like.
That's about it. But, oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody, because the next presenters were the New Age Outlaws.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Whew. Billy wanted to go to the ring, which was funny.
That was. He's like, no, I want to go this way. No.
And then he shoved Road Dogg. And, you know, after Road Dogg did his spiel, and to get his part right, he read it off his hand.
That was awesome.
Awesome stuff by one Billy Gunn. God, I love them. Such a great team. They should get another run, just saying.
I always loved Road Dogg's intro.
Yeah, me too. And you could tell the fans there popped for it, which was awesome. So, This was comeback of the year. Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho, DX at Raw 1000, or Jerry Lawler returning from a heart attack. The obvious choice went to Chris Jericho returning as the comeback of the... No. Jerry Lawler returning after the heart attack is comeback of the year. They cracked some jokes as he was jogging to the podium. He even said he shouldn't run like that or he'll give himself another heart attack.
Yeah. It's like, oh my god, don't run, Jerry.
Take it easy, Jerry. Take it easy. Up next, Kofi Kingston takes on Tensai. Kofi won.
Go, Kofi!
It's like, really quick match.
Yeah, a lot of these matches tonight were pretty much throwaways, at least in the first hour or so of the show.
Yeah, they really were.
They didn't give him a lot of time.
But Tensai had a funny moment later, which we'll get to.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
He actually was funny for once. After the match, Wade Barrett appeared and attacked Kofi Kingston, laying him out with the bull hammer. Feud must continue.
And he looked good doing it, just saying.
Figured you would. This then brought out Vicky Guerrero to introduce the nominees for Kiss of the Year. AJ Lee kissed Daniel Bryan, Kane, CM Punk, and John Cena.
They should have just had her come out and all four of them just line up behind her. Just give her Kiss of the Year and everybody else she made out with. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. So, of course, her kiss with John Cena won.
Even though I really wanted to hear Daniel Bryan and Kane argue over who kissed her better. I really wanted that argument.
Yeah.
Didn't get it, but I wanted it.
But it would have been a great argument. This then brought out AJ Lee to accept her award. She basically said she doesn't owe anyone anything. Vicky says AJ's trash and Dolph Ziggler knows it. They bickered a little bit. Dolph Ziggler came out and stood between them, trying to break apart, not wanting this to happen. And then, well, AJ jumped into the arms of Dolph Ziggler and, well, laid a big one on him.
Yes, she did.
And Dolph Ziggler really, really liked it.
This is called girl rule number one. If you want to get back at someone who's being a bitch to you, you make out with her boyfriend, especially in front of her.
Right.
Works every time.
So, Dolph Ziggler liked it, AJ skipped away, and we're getting the return of the crazy chick, and it's epic.
Yes, I'm really liking the crazy chick. By the way, I'm curious, does it make you a whore if you just kiss people? I'm just curious.
What was that?
Does it make you a whore if you just kiss people?
No. No, I wouldn't consider you a whore if you're just kissing people. You just like to kiss people. You're friendly. Very friendly.
So what does that make her?
Very friendly. I don't know. I don't have a good enough answer for you.
Because I'm getting sick of people saying that, especially on Twitter. This is why I shouldn't go on Twitter during the show. During the show. But it just... Okay, so fine. She's kissed a lot of people. Big freaking deal.
This quote just came from Alan Wojcik. Good God, now she's kissing Ziggler. How soon before she's kissing McMahon? He's that type of fan. Who doesn't like her kissing people?
We're just going to move on.
Speaking of kissing, we have the Great Khali and Natalya taking you on David Otunga.
We have caught it. We have caught the broadcast. I really like Natty's dress, by the way, and her shoes. I want both.
And that's the expert analysis on this match, because Great Khali won.
The only thing is I feel bad for David Otunga that they're basically, they fed him to Great Khali. I mean, seriously, how many times are they going to do this where they feed superstars to Great Khali to give him a push?
Every 6 months. Because then he goes on a losing streak. Because what else are they going to do with him? I mean, honestly, there's nothing really you can do with Great Khali at this point. He has no value. He doesn't look like a big man that can, you know, beat up people. He walks too slow. I don't know why he's still on TV.
He just needs to, like, stand there and growl at people.
Exactly. Maybe that might be make him intimidating. After this, we're told we have a special presenter for Superstar of the Year, and then we hear a woo. Talk about a teaser.
To which the ISWC began to brim with excitement. Could it be? Could it be? Could it finally be?
Woo! It is the Nature Boy. He is back on Monday Night Raw. And thank God he was there. Oh, man. This whole thing was awesome, but as we'll get to it. He was there to announce the Superstar of the Year, John Cena, Sheamus, CM Punk, or Big Show. And the winner, John Cena?
BS. Complete BS, but it led to a fantastic segment, so go on.
Before I get there, Flair said, good Lord, what a crowd. You guys are the best ever. And, you know, he's back in town, but he won't tell anywhere where he'll be later on tonight because he'll get in trouble. Which was a great line.
Yeah. Ric Flair, ladies and gentlemen, is not PG.
No. John Cena comes out to accept the award. He thanked the fans for all the noise because they booed the shit out of him tonight. Thank you, Philly. He said the Superstar of the Year embodies hustle, loyalty, and respect. Cena said that out of respect, the Superstar of the Year should be the greatest superstar of all the times. He says, great to see Flair back where he belongs. And then Cena gave him his Slammy Award.
Which was just like, oh God, am I going to get any sicker right now?
But then, out came the one and only CM Punk. Crutches and all, he stormed over to the podium with Paul Heyman walking behind him.
And he was fired up, oh my Lord.
Oh my God, was he ever. He just laid in the Flair. Oh my God. He just, you know, he ran through, you know, everything that Cena is, you know, how Cena hasn't done anything all year, and, you know, he's the Superstar of the Year. It was probably one of the worst years in Cena's career, he basically said.
Which was what we were all saying in our production chat, just saying.
It's like, yeah, like, he has lost every big match he's had all year, so how is he Superstar of the Year? Someone tell me? Maybe? Could be helpful, possibly.
Because he's John Cena?
Yeah, true. Punk said go ahead.
He's John Cena and he makes all the pre-tween girls go,
Punk said he used to listen to Shawn Michaels say he wanted to grow up to be like Flair, but he doesn't understand why. Punk continued to shout in Ric Flair's face why he should be the Superstar of the Year, noting that he's been champion for 393 days. And as Punk's talking, you have Paul Heyman behind him going, woo, which was great.
I more liked when Flair said, oh, I can't tell by my two Hall of Fame rings, and then he looks at his watch, and he's like, and of course, you know, this Rolex encrusted with diamonds, I'm like, which later on in the segment, I'm like, watch the watch, it's not his! It's Hunter's, you know it is!
Yeah, he talked about his rings, and then he talked about his Rolex. Not Rolex, his Rolex, so it might be a cheap knockoff. With diamonds.
So he's got CZs instead of diamonds?
Exactly. It might just be. And basically, he checked the watch and said it's time for him to go. He said it's Philly, it's time to rock and roll since it's Philadelphia. Flair told Punk to get to stepping, but said he can't even walk because there's too much baggage. Heyman. Flair said he hasn't been here, but he's been watching. Punk then shouted back that even on one leg, he could still kick Ric Flair's ass. There was also Flair smoked a look towards the ceiling before noting that his two Hall of Fame rings and, well, four ex-wives.
Ex-wives.
Oh, Ric Flair.
Which was like, brilliant. Brilliant. Well done. Very well done.
Very well done. Pierce Man in a charm goes, that's because the fourth ex-wife took the real watch.
There you go, buddy. There you go.
Yeah. Punk thanked him for saying it before he could. Punk said that he could beat up Flair with one leg, just like everyone in Philadelphia. Flair said, remove the jacket and walk towards the ring, and, you know, they want to fight. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. It's a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. So we got Flair and Punk next. So, we come back from break. All right, before we go, that whole bit, oh my God, that was awesome.
That was brilliant.
God, I miss Ric Flair.
You know, honestly, I wanted to save this until after we were done, but I have to say, if they were saving him to bring him in, this really was the perfect moment to do it.
Oh, it was?
Because nobody was expecting him. Nobody.
Nope. No one was expecting him, because there was weeks where, oh, they're in Carolina, he'll be there, he'll be there. There's rumors he's backstage. Yeah, he'll be there. Nope. So, we come back from break. Punk is trying to get in the ring with his crutches. He finally gets in the ring, and he hits Flair with the crutch. Gets to go after him again with another one, but no. Flair gets back, hits him with the crutch, gets him out of the ring. Heyman gets in the ring, and then we get a fair four on Paul Heyman. Heyman taps out. Flair then took the mic and said, I just came to here have a good time. And the crowd cheered. Flair then told out, you know, he loves Jerry Lawler, and Flair said they're never going to lose him. Flair then recalled telling Vince McMahon that if he's going to die, he wants to die in this very ring, or with a woman from Philadelphia.
Once again, Ric Flair is not PG.
Woo! It was like, oh God, they just gave him a live mic. Oh, are you sure you did the right thing? Oh, crap.
All I could think when he said that was, thank you, baby, glub, glub, glub. Which, if you don't know the reference, watch The Golden Girls. That's all I'm going to say.
And then out of nowhere, we hear the music of The Shield, which I was already thinking. Lindsay typed, yeah, cue The Shield, and we got The Shield.
I was honestly expecting The Shield to already be in the ring when they came back from break, but it's like, okay, well, they're going to let Punk and Flair do their bit. And then The Shield comes down, which, yeah. Okay.
Okay. They are shown in the crowd. Flair says, come on, bring it on, or whatever. We come back live, and there's a big brawl going on. Probably we missed it during, it was probably on the app, the WWE app. If you didn't know, they have an app, so get your app. In a brawl going on, Daniel Bryan and Kane play the part of the Four Horsemen, helping out Ric Flair. Basically, we got a big old brawl. We got a Ryback. They were going to powerbomb Ric Flair through the announce table. Because, God, that's exactly what Ric Flair needs to be doing, is taking a big bump like that. But no. We have a Ryback coming out and makes the save. And he press-slammed Rollins, who looked okay tonight, so... So survived last night's attack, and he got dropped onto the announce table. It didn't break. We then had all four men celebrate in the ring,
which was an awesome, awesome moment.
This was a great segment. This woke, when you go, oh, alright, this show, okay, I like the Boogeyman, I like the New Age Outlaws, I like the AJ thing, but the first hour was kind of beyond that.
Yeah.
this segment, this got the crowd back.
This will come up because, yeah, everything in the first hour was very, very, very hurried, and this was a nice way to open the second hour and bring that audience in that comes in the second hour hot.
Right.
And, you know, the fact that it's Ric Flair. Everybody has been waiting for him to show back up because we all knew he was coming. So the question is when are they going to bring Flair in?
Mm-hmm.
And this really was a well-done segment. It was a little cheesy, but it was well-done, especially at the end. And it led to the first segment of the night where Lindsay's ovaries popped.
Well.
Thank you, man.
Thank you very much.
I had this room to be sitting at home watching you guys now. Here I am right in the middle thing. Thank you very much.
We finally got to the Shield. Yes!
Well, you more than
no!
Got to
Yes!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Woo!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Woo!
Yes!
Woo!
Woo!
This is where Lindsay's ovaries went kaboom the first time. There's actually a second time this happens in one night.
And we'll get there. Yes, no, woo, damn.
Damn. It's so stupid. It's so corny. But it was amazing because you see Brian looking absolutely giddy because it's Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the same thing with Punk. It's Ric Flair. They're such students of the business that to even get to do anything with Ric Flair, I'm sure, holy crap.
Right.
So that's probably why Punk was like just absolutely fired up, is because it's like, it's Ric Flair.
I get to promo with Ric Flair. Come on now, this is awesome.
Yeah, because he was going full on old school. I'm sitting here watching it now. He's going full on old school on Ric Flair,
which is awesome. And yeah.
And Heyman's just like loving it. He's hamming it up. Did you see Heyman's smile
mm-hmm.
behind Punk? He's loving it every single second of it.
He's smiling. He's wooing. It's awesome.
This was well done. I will give them props. This was well done.
Speaking of well done, Brodus Clay versus JTG.
See, JTG trends on Twitter and you get him a match.
Brodus Clay won.
Well, I didn't say he was going to win, but it got him on Raw.
Yeah, well, this was the match. It happened. Let's cool down. Let's send Brodus Clay and JTG out there.
You know,
It worked.
It worked. This is one of those shows where you've got all your big guys doing other segments where they're not necessarily wrestling. So this is the opportunity that you can take guys like Brodus Clay and JTG, and you can throw them out there.
All right, and most of the main guys got beat the fuck up last night in TLC.
Yeah, so everybody kind of needed a breather. So yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Up next, we have the LOL moment of the year. We have Santino coming out with Tensai. Tensai has his head wrapped with an ice pack.
To which I asked if they had given him a lobotomy.
Santino had a couple of good lines. Santino told Tensai it was his turn to speak, but Tensai was too busy selling anger and embarrassment. Santino called him Albert, which made me chuckle.
Yeah.
And then he read on Tensai's lines with, there was no teleprompter, but he was reading lines anyhow. Tensai's lines that said, Tensai in Japanese means Fat Albert. which I enjoyed.
Which was good. It was a good line.
So, we're back live with the after you voted on the WWE app. What were the choices? Crap, what were the choices? Let's see if I can find them really quick. Rock's promo in Boston, Kane and Dan O'Brien in therapy, Randy Orton pouring food on Ricardo and Matt Stryker's face, and Ricardo and Matt Stryker's face in food, and Vicky Guerrero dancing. God, anger management should have won.
Anger management should have won, but it led to one of the most hilarious moments of the night, at least for me. The Rock wins.
Yes,
The Rock Santino wins. Accepts for him because he's not there, to which the Philly crowd boos.
And then, well, let's go to the audio.
Yes.
Philly fell flat on its face. And the winner of the LOL Moment of the Year is Son of my God, The Rock! Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, The Rock could not be here to accept the award in person. I did not have anything to do with that. However, I will accept this award on his behalf. And to tell the truth, if he doesn't come to claim it, I'm going to keep it. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Very emotional night for Team Hell now. And here we go, Cody Rhodes.
Which, if you don't know what happened there, Kane literally pulls Daniel Bryan away from the mic, Bryan gets back to it, and then Kane has to pick him up and carry him out, still screaming no. Which made my ovaries just burst again.
I thought that was great.
Well, I was kind of sitting there, it's like, pick him up, pick him up, pick him up, yes!
And he did.
And he carried him out, kicking and screaming, which is awesome.
We got some good old-fashioned Anger Buddies comedy, right?
Which I missed it.
And it was great. Up next, Cody Rhodes, Sin Cara. Cody Rhodes won. And the mood lighting was back.
Boo, mood lighting.
That's all I can really say. The mood lighting was back, and yeah.
It was a match.
Like we're saying all night, it's a match.
That's pretty much going to be the theme for the night. It was a match.
It was a match. It happened. Up next, social media award, the trending now category. The choices were woo woo woo, you know it, feed me more. A couple others. What were they?
Yes or no? I think yes was one of them.
Was it?
Yeah. Let's see.
Feed me more, people power, little Jimmy, woo-woo, you know it. Where
okay.
Are they? I like this recap. Feed me more, people power, little Jimmy, woo-woo, you know it, and hashtag raw viewers are morons who don't know how apps work. Awesome. I think that's more than 140 characters, though. Just saying. And feed me more one for the award.
Oh my god, we're all so stunned.
Yeah. I wanted people power just for the acceptance speech from John Laurinaitis.
Unfortunately, we're not going to get it.
No, we didn't get it. But after that, we have Big Show come out. The Big Show came out with the big chair. But he basically said he should be upset that the audience let him down by not voting for him in the Superstar of the Year, but he's not upset because he's still the World Heavyweight Champion. Show noted he said he would beat Sheamus. He did, and proved that he's the most dominant superstar in the WWE. Show then said he would like to ask Sheamus how it felt being bashed by the Big Show's chair. The fans start chanting "What" and "Boring" at the Big Show, and then Show starts screaming at him for chanting "Boring." This brought out Sheamus. Sheamus said he's not out there to fight him, but to say he has no regrets about their match last night. Sheamus noted that they beat the crap out of each other, and it's probably one of the most physical and painful matches of his career. Show smiled, knowing he's still the world champion. Sheamus said Show was the better man last night. Show interrupted with a "What?" Sheamus said he can admit that Show beat him fair and square, and he will be the bigger man by shaking Show's hand. Show wasn't convinced of Sheamus' gesture. Show then reached out, shook hands, and then they shook, you know, firmly. Sheamus started to leave, but Show told Sheamus to get to the back of the line and eat some potatoes. Sheamus had enough and turned around and then started to beat the crap out of the Big Show with his big chair. And then this is what popped me. This is where Dolph Ziggler came down to the ring and looked like he was going to cash it in, and I so wanted him to cash in.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this would have been perfect. It would have been perfect, but no. Out came John Cena to ruin all the fun.
Boo, Cena, boo!
Cena came out, sent Ziggler in the guardrail, and... yeah, left Ziggler laying to end that segment. I liked the tease. It got me. But damn it, I wanted him to cash in tonight. It would have been awesome.
Yeah, it was... yeah. It's just, you can't say anything more than that. It's like, yes, they finally have Dolph Ziggler tease. Thank you. Sorry, I'm reading about a friend that got shot, so...
ooh, that's not good.
Yeah.
We come back to the ring. We have the 3-man band in the ring.
So much awesome in that stretch, and then we get the 3-man band, which I shouldn't say because I got Drew on Monday Night Raw, which makes me happy, but honestly, I don't like Drew in the 3-man band. I really don't.
The 3-man band are teasing and they're going to have a 6-man tag team match against Del Rio, The Miz, and a partner, but before we get to that, we have backstage Dolph Ziggler screaming at Vicky Guerrero that John Cena just cost him the world title. He told Vicky to do something about it, but Vicky shouted at Ziggler about AJ's kiss. Ziggler shot back that she had no business being in his match last night when she has the board of directors to answer to. Oh, someone actually paying attention. Vicky shouted back that she can't believe that Dolph got AJ to help her. Dolph shouted back that he didn't know AJ was going to get involved because she's, you know, crazy. And basically, they said the relationship between Dolph and Vicky is over. And the way to end it is... tonight we're going to get a mixed tag team matchup. Dolph Ziggler and AJ take on John Cena and Vicky Guerrero.
To which we all go, yay!
And then now we get their match. 3-man band taking on The Miz, Alberto Del Rio, and their mystery partner, Tommy Dreamer.
To which Philly exploded.
Oh my god, that was awesome.
It was a really nice way to reference the wrestling history in Philly.
It was, and that was you know, you don't think of Tommy Dreamer showing up on Raw, but there he was. It was there. And he got to wrestle for a while, too. Again, this matchup got more time than all the matches previously combined.
Well, if you think about it, it makes sense because you've got Del Rio and Miz, who they're still trying to establish as faces because Del Rio just turned last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the 3-man band, which they're still trying to build. So it makes a lot of sense why they gave this pretty much the most time, I would think, on the show. I think this was the longest match.
About 14 minutes this was given.
Which, it was a good match. It was very competitive, very solid.
Tommy Dreamer picked up the win for his team with a DDT on Heath Slater. I'm okay. Tommy Dreamer gets a win on TV. Works for me.
I was going to say, and there was much rejoicing in Philly.
ECW. Back live, we have Sheamus coming out to announce the Newcomer of the Year award. Your choices are Brodus Clay, Antonio Cesaro, The Ryback, and Damian Sandow. And the winner is Ryback.
Boo, it should have been Sandow.
Should have been Sandow, yes. Ryback comes out and quoted Owen Hart, of all people, saying enough is enough and it's time for a change, and then the change is Ryback.
To which Martha Hart face-palmed. You know she did. You heard it come from Canada.
Oh, I know. We get a match. Antonio Cesaro and the Ryback. Short, sweet. Ryback won via count out when Cesaro walked away.
Yeah, which honestly was the right thing to do since you're trying to build Cesaro.
Exactly. Then we got some more surprises. For the final slamming of the night, it is match of the year. They brought out Mean Gene, Ricky Steamboat, and then JR.
To which we all popped. I mean, you know, come on, who can't?
I know, right? Awesome.
If Mean Gene isn't enough, then you get Steamboat, and then you get JR. It's like the epicness on that stage alone. It's like, this is worth it, right here, just to see these three.
Yep.
I has a happy.
Your choices were Brock Lesnar vs. John Cena Extreme Rules, Sheamus vs. Big Show at Hell in a Cell, Rock vs. Cena Once in a Lifetime at WrestleMania, and then Undertaker and Triple H. And I hear him sing through the commercial going, oh god, it's going to be Rock and Cena, it's going to be Rock and Cena, it's going to be Rock and Cena, it's going to be Rock and Cena. But it was not. It was Undertaker and Triple H.
Never underestimate the power of the Undertaker's fangirls.
Never will again. Never, ever will again.
The true creatures of the night, F.U. Jeff Hardy,
yeah,
came through.
They did. Triple H came out for the first time in his new short hair.
He even made a crack about it, which was awesome.
Yeah, back in 1997, he won the Slammy for Best Hair, and now, well,
he has no hair.
He has no hair.
Which, was it me, or did his nose look bigger?
It's because there's no hair. Everything looks bigger because you see it's more of his face.
See,
the hair was an illusion. It shrunk his nose. Just making shit up.
Throw it back, dude.
JBL said, somewhere at home, sitting at home, is a dead man with a huge smile on his face.
Somewhere sitting at home is a dead man with probably a crying baby. Just saying.
Hunter said, what's a rhyming? Is he want? Yeah, we talked about the best hair. After that, he paused a little bit because we got a really loud We Want Taker chant.
Philly and I have something in common.
Damn right. Hunter continued that every now and again you get to be part of something special. Something described as magic. He said he got to be a part of something that was just that at WrestleMania. He said for him being in that ring with Shawn Michaels, and the guy who he considers to be the benchmark of this business, The Undertaker, it was an honor and the end of an era. We got a really loud thank you, Hunter chant. And then he said there's a million-dollar question hanging in the air right now. And, well, he gave us an answer. We have not seen the last of The Undertaker.
It's all you people that said he was done. Screw you!
Every year at the Slammies, they tease The Undertaker.
Oh, I was kind of hoping he was going to be there. Because, you know, they had all these surprises on the show, and it's like, God, wouldn't it be epic if The Undertaker walked out?
I was, you know, even though they, you know, I kept expecting it to happen, but no. But the good thing is, we got to take a confirmation he will return.
And then the start of Lindsay's holiday season, which is The Undertaker Returns, will start shortly because, yes, that is actually the... You know it's WrestleMania season when Taker comes back.
Damn right.
And oh my god, guys, please don't drop Ric Flair. Please don't. He's fragile.
After that, Hunter walks away, and we cut backstage, and Shield is attacking Tommy Dreamer. They're beating the crap out of him. Ricardo Rodriguez tried to make the save, but he got beat up as well. Basically, they were saying this is their house, and they were getting rid of Tommy Dreamer. So, yeah. I'm glad they made the Shield look strong after they took the beating earlier.
Yeah. They had to do that.
It was a nice touch. Then we come back live. Well, before we went to break, AJ came to the ring, and she was setting up, having the crew member set up a ladder for her. She came back live. She's standing on top of the ladder. She basically said what she thought about what she wanted to say, and she's just, you know, she says, "I'm full of surprises." AJ said, "Everyone keeps asking why. Why? Why?" She had everyone asking why she would do it to everyone's favorite hero, John Cena at TLC. She got stopped at the gas station and asked why. The busboy asked her at a hotel room why. Even an hour ago, the few divas asked why. That's just probably because she made out with Dolph Ziggler. But everyone,
I'm sorry, who wouldn't want to make out with Dolph Ziggler? Just saying.
But everyone keeps asking her why, and she thought it was obvious. And before she gave her answer, Vicky Guerrero came out and said no one cares why she did it. They get into it a little bit. They start the fight. Out comes Dolph Ziggler. Out comes John Cena. We get our mixed tag team matchup. Ziggler and Cena are left to battle after AJ and Vicky walk out at different points in the match. Ziggler was trapped in the STF, and out of nowhere, we see AJ coming back down to the ring, but she's flanked by Big E Langston from NXT.
A.K.A. Rye Black.
It's already a picture.
It's already a meme.
Yeah, it is. Apparently it was trending, too. Or so it said. So, yes, Big E Langston came to the ring and attacked John Cena, causing the DQ. Big E flattened John Cena as Ziggler tried to figure out what was going on. Big E stood over Cena. AJ then circled around Big E, standing over Cena. Ziggler tried to reach his feet, selling disbelief. The announcers tried to figure out what was going on, and, you know, Lawler doesn't get it, and we go off the air. I liked it. Wasn't the ending I expected, but I liked it.
It was a nice surprise. It was very unexpected. It was very different. It's basically, you have to tune in next week to find out what's going to happen.
And what were we saying? What was the conversation we had?
They don't do that anymore. And now they're doing it again, which that just goes to prove they listen to this network. They have us bugged. They have to.
Did we say that on air or was that off air? I don't remember. But anyway.
No, we did. We said it on air. We had the conversation either on the rack or on
it was a prior
WTR.
It was part of the rack.
Where we said that, in fact, I know exactly what it was. Is when we were talking about the Divas and the fact that we're not emotionally invested in the product.
Right.
There's nothing that says, I have to watch Raw. There's no tease. There's no draw. There's no nothing. Even though it's probably going to end up being very convoluted, it's... AJ brings in this big badass dude from NXT to screw John Cena. Why? Well, we're going to have to watch next Monday to find out. Or we're going to have to watch Friday to find out.
Or tomorrow. because it's live. Super SmackDown Live, 8 o'clock.
Oh, that's right. This week is the week of WWE programming, isn't it?
It is WWE week, if you haven't heard.
Hold on, my ovaries have to pop again.
And clip. Sorry. Anyway.
I don't care, dude.
I know. It's commercial-free SmackDown as well.
And Brian's beard. Oh my god, it's so fluffy!
So yes, this was 3 hours of Monday Night Raw. It was really entertaining.
It was very entertaining. It dragged in some spots, but overall it was pretty good.
The way the show started, I was like, oh god, it's going to be one of these long nights. And then we got Flair, we got Tommy Dreamer, we got the Anger Buddies.
Yeah, I was going to say, the added surprises of the Boogeyman and Tommy Dreamer and Ric Flair and J.R. Okerlund and Dragon were all really nice touches because you weren't expecting them.
Nope. And we continue to elevate Dolph Ziggler, which was good. CM Punk got his bit in, which was great.
The Shield looked incredibly strong.
Shield looked strong. We can see the development of the WWE characters, the new evolution of the new characters, which is really good. Because if you look at through the roster, there's a big overhaul of who's being pushed and who's not.
Yeah.
Times are changing in WWE, and I'm kind of liking the people they're bringing in.
Yeah, I think and I have to say this is probably, I would hope, is a lot of Hunter's influence.
It is. The Shield, the Shield is a Hunter thing.
And it shows, because it's very, very, very psychological. Mm-hmm. It's very, they're booking them right for a change.
Yep. So yeah.
If this is the start of what we're going to get with Hunter, I say more, please. Feed me more.
Trending. Yeah. I'm in agreement with you. Hunter's first couple choices to bring brought in, Sin Cara, Karma, didn't work out fully, but we can see since he's become more of the full head of talent development, we're getting new people, and they're gonna have a role.
I mean, one thing I like about the Shield, and then we can kind of wrap up, is they're very polished already. It's not like they didn't bring them up when they weren't ready. These guys were ready to come up.
Right, they waited.
They waited on them, they sat on them, and because it's like I was sitting here watching them with Ric Flair, and it looked like they had been there for years. And granted, I know they had been down in developmental for years, but they weren't like the other guys that come up from developmental, that they're a little green, they're not ready.
And this show shows you the difference between what FCW was and what NXT is now.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. They're giving them more WWE style of what you have to do. They're getting them ready for the big time. It's becoming a real developmental territory, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's what they need.
It is, it really is, and that's gonna, get me invested again. Fully. Because I'm getting invested in the Shield. I'm getting invested in Dolph Ziggler. Was invested in the Anger Buddies. They're getting me invested in characters now, which is great.
They're getting me invested in Ambrose. The more I see of Dean Ambrose, the more I like him.
We'll talk more about this probably on Thursday.
Yeah. So stay tuned, but what else can we tune in and listen to, Rock?
We can listen to a whole other great program right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network starting tomorrow night on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 o'clock Eastern. We will have Ricky Morton, legendary tag team wrestler Ricky Morton. We will have Howard Brody of NWA Ring Warriors. We will have the winner of the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup. Can't remember his name, but we're going to have him on the show. Surprise! Tune in for Kayfabe Wrestling Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, it's just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Join the guys as they cover pro wrestling. I have no idea what they're talking about this week. Thursday night, it's The Rack with Lindsay Ward and myself. Linz, what are we doing?
We're going to be talking all about Impact. We're going to be kind of, I guess, talking more about The Shield and a whole bunch of other stuff. Talk a little bit more about TLC, although we pretty much covered it last night on WTR if you didn't hear it. But yeah, if you have thoughts, ideas, suggestions, rants that you either want us to go over, talk about, or even, you know, call into the show maybe, let us know. Send an email to media@wildtalkradio.com and we will put your stuff on the show because we need crap to talk about.
Plus,
and it's the end of the world, so who knows what we'll do.
And it's the last rack of 2012.
Yes, by the way, there is no rack Christmas week because I will not be here, so...
Yes.
Enjoy.
But, tune in. I will tell you why Hulk Hogan will be at WrestleMania 30 and who his opponent will be, and it's awesome. Just telling you. It's kind of awesome.
Yes.
Friday night, it's the 3-hour and 1-minute edition of the Wake Up Call with John and Cashmere. It's the end of the world, people. It's the end of the world. He will take you to the countdown. Saturday night, midnight-ish, if you survive the end of the world, it's CB Radio, join myself, Rob Park, Subway, as we discuss the weird, the wacky, the usual. It's a Christmas show, so play Christmas music, tell different things, and anyone can call in if they choose. Sunday, it's Wrestle Talk Radio, with Tim Stein and Omega, 10 p.m. Eastern. And then we'll be back next Monday night, if people are around, for another edition of the Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, on Christmas Eve.
Yay! Which I won't be here for, so you're doing that on your own.
I'm doing this on my own. That's all I'm going to say. On my own.
Because I will be on an airplane, so yeah.
Yes, I'm going to be doing the Raw Post Show on my own next week. So come out and support me. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com, so it's Wild Talk Radio Network. Plug.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linz Ward, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com, and of course go to CassidyRiley.net, buy his merchandise. He would greatly appreciate it. And lastly, you can also take a look at my portfolio, linsward.deviantart.com. Go to all check it out. And of course, listen to all the fine programming on this network as we all work very hard.
We'll be back. It's Monday night for a Raw Post Show, but I will be. Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. See you in the morning for KFAB Wrestling Radio. Proudly presented by TweakedAudio.com and PWMania.com. Good night, everybody.